When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today's episode of the Mind Sculptors podcast is sponsored by TCG Player, your source for all your trading card game needs. Use our link in the description the next time you get your cards to help support the show. Today's episode is also made possible by our Patreon subscribers. If you want to support the show directly, head over to patreon.com/themindsculptors and you can become part of the Sculpty family today. Or if you don't want to do any of that, leave a like and comment on YouTube or a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts as an offering to Algorithm Jesus.
Everybody, welcome to the Mind Sculptors, where we have nothing but technical problems. My name's Ian.
I'm Cal.
And we've been sitting here for 35 minutes trying to give you the content you deserve every week. Technically longer. It's actually, we hit the 40-minute mark. My bad.
Jesus Christ. Oh, man. Yeah, between Moxfield just kind of not working... you know, it happens. Sites crash. They got a bunch of users. I get it. But between that and then Riverside decided to do some weird stuff, I guess today was one of those days, so it were.
Amen.
But yeah, welcome everybody to the Mind Sculptors podcast. Before we get too deep into anything, I do want to let you know that in case Editor Jace hasn't brought it up to you yet, this episode is brought to you by TCG Player. You can head on over to the link in the description, buy your cards using our link, and help out channel. And also, if you another way to help out the channel, go to patreon.com/themindsculptors. And we're going to be revamping the Patreon at the beginning of the year. So look forward to that, where we're actually going to have real, like, you know how like other podcasts have like actual like rewards and stuff. We're going to start doing that. So that will be coming soon and all that. And if you don't want to do any of all that, go ahead, leave a review, hit like, subscribe, all that jazz, do something like that. Leave a comment as an offering to Algorithm Jesus.
Every time
we're going to pass the plate, so it were, around the congregation and receive the tithe that is your for watching this video, hitting like or hitting subscribe or leaving a comment. We're passing the plate, so it were. All of the people who grew up in church just got triggered.
For sure.
And now it's time for our altar call. And did you grow up in church at all, Ian?
Or like, I went to a Catholic high school.
Raised Catholic. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I grew up non-denominational, and the church that I went to was also the high school that I went to. So, it was real, real, real good shit, man.
That's some Midwest shit right there.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, welcome to the show. So today, Ian, what are we doing today exactly?
Well, I'm glad that you asked, Callahan. As you know, our original podcast intent did not quite work as planned. I thought, you know what? Let's do something fun today. Get a little crazy, a little wacky. You know, so for those who haven't heard, my dog, Ouija, shut up. Anyways, For those who haven't heard, we are currently in Big Boy Winter, which is a joke that Alan and Mizzle Misplay made about the high mana value of commanders nowadays in CEDH, and it just keeps being right, so it's pretty funny. Like, the last tournament was, you know, myself playing 2 5-drop commanders, Tivit, a 6-drop, and Atraxa, a 7-drop, and Kinnan, an honorary big boy, because he flipped into all the big boys. So I was like, you know,
it brings all the big boys to the club,
to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours.
Thank you for getting where I was going with that. Really, yeah. I'm glad to know that we were on the same wavelength.
Yeah, for sure. So we're kind of like, hey, let's check out commanders nowadays and see which one of these crazy big boys. Like, how crazy can we get with the mana value? And let's just sort of do like a fun little theory brew here.
Yeah,
and we're not gonna go through and like actually brew these decks, but we're gonna go through the highest mana value of legal commanders and talk about which ones we could hypothetically see in play.
Yeah. So we have Scryfall open here.
Yeah,
and we have searched for all legal commanders, and we are sorting by mana value descending.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna do us a quick little help here, and we're just gonna scooch past.
We've already scooched past a card that has been played in CEDH already.
What are you, Jyngataxxus or
no? Great Distortion. I've actually seen Kozilek the Great Distortion in at least more than one CEDH pod before. It is mostly because it refills your hand. You can like dump all the fast mana in the world, right? Comes down, refills your hand, and then you have counter spells and colorless, right? So,
yeah. You certainly could.
You certainly could. I'm not saying it is by far the MVP. I'm thinking like, well, what? Like, the whole point of this is to, what is the biggest we could get away with? I think Kozilek is probably it. Like, I think there's some people who would argue Emrakul, but I think that's a 99.
You know what? I'll spit some straight facts. The biggest we can get away with.
Yeah.
Is Progenitus.
Why?
It's a 5-color commander that can be whatever you want it to be.
Okay.
Listen,
that's fair.
You playing Kenrith? Hey, what if you wanted to play Progenitus?
Yeah.
You want a big 10-10 that has protection from everything?
Yeah, yeah. Fair enough. By fair enough, I mean, this makes no sense, but I love this for you. Earlier today, I was actually looking at Reaper King, which is actually the same mana value. But then I realized it says other scarecrow, and I was like, the worst case scenario, you infinitely flicker it, but it's you have to do another scarecrow. So yeah. I'm a little sad about that one.
So I actually, funnily enough, Phoenix and I have been talking about this card a lot recently, and okay. It's specifically because I've been trying to bring back the like Golos prison deck, yeah. deck a little bit. It's kind of hard because so much of what made that deck good was that Golos kind of refunded everything and made it worth your while.
Yeah.
But you can't, like, this is a decent workshop deck. So, like, it does do some stuff. You can do some funny things with it where you can, like, specifically, like, Oswald it away into, like, other big things.
I don't think you can. What 11 drop artifact is there?
Why did I not just open up a Scryfall tab?
I don't know.
Let's just look at artifacts that are legal in Commander. Do exactly what we've done just now.
Wait, no, because Oswald doesn't say or less, right? It's mana value plus one.
Yeah, so you can specifically like put it into like some of these big things like Darksteel Colossus, Mycosynth.
Mycosynth Golem is like the most attractive one.
There are some things there.
Is not, no, you can eat it, but into Lightsteel, but
yeah. But you can like do some stuff with that where you can use that as an engine to get some other things out, right?
Yeah, that's cute.
It's not, like I said, I don't think it's great. I think ultimately what it is this exercise in trying to
experiment
with that prison archetype, because if they ever decide to unban Golos, I actually think that Golos prison deck was like really solid. But you know, it's just one of those things where it's like Golos was so central to what made that deck good. Which is so disappointing. And then like Reaper King just doesn't do it. Yeah. Like Ramos just doesn't do it.
Yeah.
And it's very sad. And it's me just unable to accept reality.
I think Chizgoria is pretty playable. I think the only thing I don't like about Chizgoria is the fact that it doesn't replace the cards that get exiled. Like, they just get exiled. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is like a downside, but it's also just mono red, which kind of sucks, but it does have affinity for artifacts, which is neat.
Yeah.
I guess my question would be, if I was building this, is just like, why not Godo? Right? Like,
why not Godo? Interesting. I think they're different decks, right?
They are, but also just like, I feel like one, you can pretty, I feel like The Godo deck has a very clear win.
Yeah.
You know what
it's
I mean?
It's closer to Duretti, I would argue, than like a Godo, right?
Yeah. But I guess my question is just like, what's the advantage of this over Duretti?
Yeah.
And that's my big thing. And I guess you do have a big, you know, for effectively three mana, you have a 5/4 with haste that draws you some cards.
Also like card draw versus card, or I guess deep card filtering versus, you know, card like mana value cheating. That's a little more efficient, right?
I guess my thought is in mono red, how good is that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a good question. That's the reason that it has not been answered yet.
Looking down throughout this more, there's not like anything that really sticks out to me right away.
People have definitely like tried Zakama before and it's been mediocre at best.
Yeah. Zakama, it's just like Naya Food Chain is like why.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But without the outlet for Food Chain.
Yes. Well, I mean, it does filter your Food Chain mana in like a little bit. Because you're able to untap your lands, but
right. But then, what do you do with it?
Correct.
Yeah.
It doesn't do much, which is kind of the downside.
Right. Well, I think we skipped one up there a little bit. Yeah. Oh well, I wanted to just bring up the Ur Dragon because the Ur Dragon is one that I think about maybe once a month, where I go, is the Ur Dragon CEDH deck potentially? And I go, no, probably not.
Is this your Roman Empire?
No, it's not that much. I think every time I look at it, I go, no, that's not it. But you know, it's I don't know.
Yeah, it's like close enough, you know what I mean, that you think about
Right. I just feel like they're like, if there were a few more dragons that had like very nice static stacks effects, then that'd be cool. But I don't think there are a ton, you know?
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Looking down through it more, the new Gishath, what does this do? Does this do anything? When Gishath Sun's Avatar deals combat damage to a player, reveal that many cards from the top of your library. That's old Gishath.
Yeah.
This one's old?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, they just straight up reprinted it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Never. Listen, I saw new art and I was like, oh, cool. New card.
Ooh, we have one of our most famous getting away with playing too big of a commander cards. Kamal, Hero Krosa, or Heart of Krosa, of course.
How much of a meme is Kamal? Like, do you actually think Kamal is a meme, or do you think it's like a real partner?
That is a really good question. I don't quite get the appeal myself. I don't, you know, there's a certain level of like, you know, the pre Bowmasters days.
Mm-hmm.
I know that people were doing like Kamal plus the Angel just as like, you know, I play stacks creatures, play stacks creatures, play stacks creatures, and then here's the game winning spell. And I'm just like, I feel like we can do that without having to go this crazy, you know?
Yeah.
And also, I never thought like Tim to Kamal was very good. I was really did not like that deck.
I do think Kamal and like Krom would be interesting potentially.
That Kromal,
yeah, Kromal. Like if I was going to pair it with something, my like first thought is Krom, mostly because of the fact that it's just like it's already big. It has haste. It gives you some card draw, and then this kind of comes it's in like, and like finishes the job.
The Dockside Outlet, right? Because like you can turn all of your lands into dudes, and then like move to combat. They get pumped, and you just Oko one person, right? Like,
yeah. It's also important to note that they do get indestructible. So like they don't give a shit about Bowmasters, which is super nice. I just don't think the way we've seen Kamal played in the past has been like serious like builds of it. And I think there might be something there. I just don't think that we've seen it yet.
I would be surprised, but I'm willing to admit that could be surprised.
My thought is specifically like a teamer mid-range deck with this and Krom seems like it could have legs in the current meta. So that's generally my thought. Do I think it's super good? No, but it could be. Carador. How dead is Carador on a scale of Carador, 1 to 10?
I will die on the hill that Carador is just strictly Where's Moldrotha.
I don't think you're wrong.
I will say new Korvold is actually pretty spicy. I'm not gonna lie.
Are we gonna have the same conversation we had during the set review that I cut?
Maybe.
Where it's X is capped to draw X cards, where X is the number of permanent types among cards in your graveyard. So,
it's not like amazing. But I don't know.
Okay.
Well, because I think like
at one point you were like, "Oh, this is great."
Well, no, I'm not at that point.
Okay.
Like Jewel Lotus plus any other spell, like kind of makes this at least like turn one castable potentially, right?
Right.
And then, I don't know, the minimum draw through when you hit somebody is like, okay, right?
Yeah.
Like I think this is a build that I could see someone playing that is like very aristocrat themed and just use this Korvold as this like very intense card draw engine. And the question of like, is it better or worse than Dargo comes up, right? And I think it definitely falls under the worse than Dargo thing, but it has more card advantage than Dargo. But then it has
actual card advantage.
Yeah, yeah.
The question I would have is, what is the advantage of playing this over current Dargo? Because current Dargo, or OG Dargo, right, is like an outlet. So it's like, especially for the type of things that Jund does already, it's really good because it's able to just naturally be an outlet in the command zone for those things.
I completely agree. Yeah.
So I think that's my only knock on it is.
Yeah. Like I could see someone showing up and playing this in a CEDH pod, and I would also not be surprised to have it described as like, there are strictly better things available. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that's fair. This is a card that always kind of piques my interest when I see it is Lysia Sanguine Tribune. It costs one less to cast for each life you gained this turn, and you can pay life and put 3+1/+1 counters on it, and you can only activate this during your turn and once each turn. So it kind of isn't great, but it's like every time I see it, it like feels like it could be in my head.
Sure. I mean, it could easily be like the payoff for a stacks deck. I don't really know what incidental life gain stuff really is like going crazy. Like you have your Hushbringers, which is like 1 point of lifelink per turn. What other stacks things have lifelink?
Sarah Ascendant.
Oh, yeah, that's Sarah Ascendant for sure. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can definitely go like full beat down life gain, right? Which is It's an option. I don't know if it's the best option, but I mean, Charismatic Conqueror makes this a little better too, right? That's some license game that you didn't have before. But it's a very specific deck. I agree. I always see it and I go, that's a very interesting card. And then I start thinking about the practicalities of it and go, I don't really think there's an answer here, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of like how I feel a lot of those go, where it's like, I'll see it and I'm like, that could be interesting. And then it's like, speaking of Maelstrom Wanderer.
Yes.
Maelstrom Wanderer is a card that I feel like I'm always flirting with.
Yeah.
Because Cascade is just such a powerful effect. Mm-hmm. But in CEDH, how real do you think this is?
That's a good question. I don't know, to be honest. I think like so when Double Masters came out, I did open like a nice version of it and I was like, I can build this deck. Mm-hmm. but it's like, it's kind of interesting because it's a Dockside outlet, right? It's a food chain outlet. It's
is it a Dockside outlet? I guess
with Team Receiver Tooth and Baron.
I guess if you have
the only combos in those colors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shush.
Yeah, for all the Teamer Dockside combos work with this card. Which is kind of fun. Like I don't know. I think it's kind of silly that you could do like a full Teamer, kind of like big chaotic
Teamer. Almost.
Yeah, like it definitely is like I think that was actually the argument that made me go off of this effect was like, why is this better than First Sliver? And I didn't have the fantastic answer to it. I guess like the counter argument is like, if you want to build like a Blood Moon back to basics version of First Sliver, then like I could see you looking at this option. Although then you kind of like lose incentive to play Gaia's Cradle, which is one of the best cards in the deck, most likely.
Yeah.
It's definitely an atypical axis. I kind of like the idea that there are certain combos that this turns online, like, for example, Bloom Tender plus like any of the like, I guess, Deadeye Navigator specifically, Bloom Tender. But then Deadeye doesn't actually work with Maelstrom. So then it's like, you know,
yeah, it's one of those things where the Cascade cast thing just really kind of makes it go like, yeah, this kind of like makes it a little bit worse.
Right.
But I do think that like, I think Food Chain Sliver is just like, I like lower color food chain decks generally, actually, because I think that they end up being more like focused on what they're trying to do. Whereas I feel like the First Sliver decks are just so broad that they're like milquetoast. And it's like, because you just have so many good cards where it's just like, okay, this pile of good cards and this, and like, why am I playing First Sliver instead of Atraxa when Atraxa like actually like gives me some card advantage?
Right.
And I think like the idea here is, if I was going to make an argument for this over the First Sliver, it's that when you reduce the colors, you kind of can hone your strategy better.
Right. Focus it. Yeah.
So that'd be my main argument. Also, the creatures having haste thing is actually like
kind of cool. Yeah.
Like non, it's a
not trivial.
Yeah. Not trivial.
I also think like, so like if you're focusing on this version, I think you focus on a basic heavy version of this deck, right? Yeah. Because it's, you want to streamline it and you want to pay off for playing less colors. Right. So I think like you could easily play like Earthcraft, Blood Moon, back to basics, Mag is the Moon. And that's like, okay, cool. Now we're starting to like mess around with something and have a reason why not just First Sliver, you know? Yeah.
The funny thing is it's like, if you start here and you ask, why aren't you playing First Sliver? And then you go to the First Sliver and then you get to First Sliver and it's like, well, why aren't you just playing Atraxa? And it's like, you kind of like reverse engineer getting to four colors. The Myogen are... that's how I feel about them.
Okay. I feel like there is a world where Sauron Lord of the Rings is playable.
I don't think you're incorrect. Because I will say, when I saw you play this on Scry Babies when you were playing
it did so much work, right?
The card is a house. Especially in a world where like a math like Bowmasters kind of runs everything, like this just amplifies that strategy a little bit.
Yeah. It's also funny because like Grixis Reanimator doesn't have like a fantastic payoff right now.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, it's kind of cool because like Hullbreaker Horror is obviously a combo with this card, and then you can like cast this card, get back your Hullbreaker, and use Hullbreaker to combo with it. Now, obviously, 8 mana is like a silly, silly amount of investment, right?
Yeah.
Into one card. But like, I mean, the fact that once again, it is multiple versions of an infinite mana outlet, right? Because you can Baron it, you can Cloudstone Curio it. Yeah, right. So like those are the combos. I guess Lord Dracus as well, if you're going that deep. You cannot Deadeye it, worth noting.
Yes, you do have to cast it.
You do.
It doesn't work with like Displacer Kitten Lions either.
It also does not work with Displacer. Oh my god, could you imagine this with Displacer
Kitten? This with Displacer Kitten would get one of them banned. Because it would show up in casual spaces is what would happen.
Maybe. But yeah, it's like definitely very silly and cool. But like, I don't know. I like the idea of like, okay, here's my reanimate and also a 5/5 and also, you know, gonna mill myself for my strategy and breach later, right? So it's definitely, if you did play Gnaws in the deck, it would be one of those horrifying Gnaws decks. And if you
don't think
play
it's Gnaws a Gnaws deck, honestly, like I think it's
just like Grixis Reanimator,
which I think is kind of neat. I've always liked Grixis Reanimator, as an idea, but people brew this deck, or it's either this one or the other Sauron. I know there are people
the other who play. People have brewed.
Okay. Yeah. I know people play Sauron in this. And so it's like, I'm kind of interested to see what this big one does.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next 60, baby. I own so many goddamn copies of Slimvada. It's so annoying. I want to talk about Chroma for a second.
Yeah,
talk about Chroma. This is a card that I actually really like. I have been a fan of it for a while, and I'm just like, how do I put this into, what do I pair this with? I think at one point I tried it with Chrom, and it was pretty interesting with Chrom.
A Chroma.
We've had this like big Chrom pairing thing where it was like Chromel, a Chroma. I like both of those. What are your thoughts on a Chroma? Because I think it has potential. I really like the effect is nuts.
I think we kind of talked about this earlier because like Kamala Chroma used to be the like de facto stacks plus time matchup, right? Like that was like this deck that like just kept doing pretty decently over time. So it's like a Chroma's, I mean, if you are looking for a late game finisher, it does that, right? I will say a lot of staples in CEDH do not have keywords on them, right? Mm-hmm. Each other creature you control gets one that has flying if it has, right? So like it needs to have all of those abilities, right? For it to get the buff. So in that sense, I'm like a little underwhelmed by that part of the deck. Because I would argue like what are the cards in CEDH I'm really, really thinking of? Like Timna? Sure, it's got lifelink. I'm happy with Timna getting one buff, but like
Chrom has two of them, right? It's flying haste.
Chrom does have two of those, right? Which is nice. Six damage Chrom is not what I want out of CEDH, but I also understand. I don't know. I think it's cute. Like if there's things I'm going to be pairing Chrom with that are in white, I'm going to be looking at like Yoshimaru and stuff like that. Like I'm looking at like weirder stuff like that as opposed to, you know, something.
But
like
I interest you in one Arden.
No, but thank you for asking.
Let's keep looking here. We know Atrax is good.
We do know Atrax is good.
This is one that I want to talk about because every time I see this card get played in different like pods, I'm like, this card is stupid. And it's Belladrose Witherbloom. If you're unfamiliar with it, it is a 4/4 Elder Dragon that costs 5 colorless, a black and a green, has flying, and at the beginning of each upkeep, create a 1/1 black and green pest creature token with when this creature dies, you gain 1 life. Then you can pay 10 life, untap all lands you control, and you can activate only once each turn. So like it's a little bit of an outlet. It's also just this like big board creator, which is kind of neat. What are your thoughts on this card? Because I feel like I've played it in different like casual spaces and it's been like insane.
I don't really see how it translates to CEDH.
Yeah.
I'm being honest. I think it's like it. I don't know, like it's obviously a high value thing. Untapping every land you control is obviously something that is meant to be appealing, right? It's meant to look at that and go like, oh, that's something kind of cool, but I don't see how that actually pays off. You know, there's not many flicker effects in these colors, and that definitely doesn't help, right?
Correct. Yeah, like I agree with you. And it's always like one of those things that whenever I see, it's kind of the card that it's like every time I see it in my head, I'm like, yeah, that's good. And then I think about it more and it's like, okay, but what are the colors that it's in? You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Let's see, what else do we have? Chromium the Mutable, baby.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
We're down to Dargo.
There is technically an argument. If you are like one of those CEDH old heads, right? There is like a world where Chromium is technically a playable card because of the fact that it is, basically a flash uncounterable 3-turn clock, right? Like if you are trying to play the most oppressive type of CEDH where you're trying to win with a traditional control win con, I guess technically Chromium counts. I'm putting a lot of qualifiers on here for a good reason.
I think Tivit is just better. I've seen people play Damia before.
Really?
Yeah. I have. Yeah. I've always been like, why are you playing that? But I have seen it. Okay. What else is going on here? You know what's a card that I really want to work, but not as a commander, is Hogak, Arisen Necropolis. I think
it's
you can do stuff with. It's just
ruined an entire format for a hot minute that it might be like at least okay to look at.
Yeah,
it's one. I also think we passed one that I kind of like.
Oh, what's that?
I think the rate on Galta and Maverin's kind of insane. I don't know, the ability to be like, yeah, sure, here, let me, my 7-mana, no, yeah, 7-mana, here's my 7-mana 12/12 trampler with upside. Like, I don't know, the fact that it's a 2-turn clock, the fact that when it attacks, you can just make another 12/12 back just in case you need a blocker, or you can make, you know, a bunch of 1/1 lifelinkers, right? To me, this just strikes me as, and this is also, once again, whenever you attack.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that this could be like a finisher for a stacks deck, right? And a finisher for a stacks deck that doesn't suffer the same problem that the other stacks decks right now are suffering, which is either A, not having a way to end the game efficiently, or B, having their small creatures disrupted, right? Like, so you can make the lifelink vampires, but at the same time, you can also just be like, okay, here, I'm going to make my, you know, copies of my biggest creature power and toughness wise, right? And so you can actually like circumvent a lot of the issues that some of these like WinCon the stacks decks are having with this commander.
Right. I don't know. I'm continually of the opinion that I think like WinCon the stacks decks are just not as appealing as you have to have a commander that lets you turn the corner. And I don't know that Galta lets you turn the corner as well.
You don't think a 7-mana 12/12 is turning the corner?
I think it turns the corner, but I don't think it turns the corner at the speed you need to in this format.
Interesting. Okay, I can get behind that. Yeah.
I think that when we talk about like the reason like Tivit is even like a, you know, we talk about like a deck that's a control deck, right? And because we talk a lot about like one of the things we've said is a big like plus of Tevish Krom is that that deck can just like turn the corner when it needs to. And that has to be on a dime in this format where it's just like you found your window and you immediately can take it. The issue I have with stacks decks is that their window needs to be like 3 to 4 turns.
Yeah, agreed.
And if their board state gets disrupted at all, then they have to start over from scratch. And so it's one of those things where I don't know how like viable that is overall.
Yeah.
And no, that's, I get that. That's generally my concern with it. And part of why, for what it's worth, that I liked Golos as a stacks deck was that it did have that ability to turn the corner because you had like the commander that gave you that ability. And so like, that's one of the things where it's like, if you, there are stack decks that can turn the corner. I just don't know that like Selesnya is the color that I want to be in for that.
Yeah, I get that for sure.
Elite is blood sheath of get.
Perfect.
What?
I said perfect.
Yeah, perfect, perfect, perfect. what do you think of Lord Xander?
I looked at that literally earlier today.
Did
I was
you?
Like, it's such a trap. Yeah.
It feels like a trap to me.
Yeah. Because it doesn't actually like do much. It like makes them all go down to one, right? Mm-hmm. So you can have one non-land permanent, one card in your library, and one card in your hand, right? Which is like too many for my opinion. Like, I want to be killing my opponents.
If I'm going to be ripping your hand apart, I want all the cards to be gone.
I want to work. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What else do we got here?
I think, speaking of, worth it to mention that Morophon has a bunch of combos with Fist of Suns, right?
Yeah, that is true. It does have combos with that. I don't know how good I think it is, but
no, they're quite bad, actually. Yeah, for sure.
Let's see. Now we're down to.
I have seen Nezahal Mono Blue, which was very funny.
Oh yeah, I believe that entirely. Again, I don't know that how much I think that's like great. Yeah. But
we actually did pass one of my favorite, I think, slept on commanders.
Ovica,
right there. Yeah, Ovica. Yeah, exactly.
So, what is the reasoning with Ovica?
So, I mean, like, base level, it's a Escron Scepter outlet, right? You play it, you make infinite 1/1s, you go to combat, you kill your opponents, right? Mm-hmm. It also is a Lord Drakus outlet with Dockside, right? Where you, when you use the bounce spells that you cast to use the Lord Drakus combo, and for those who don't know, Lord Drakus is the thing that mutates onto Dockside, and then you get a bounce spell back from your graveyard. So you make infinite 1/1s that way. Okay.
Goddamn. There we go. Yeah.
Like if you have a bounce spell in graveyard, you mutate that into Dockside, pick up the bounce spell, bounce the Dockside and the Drakus, they separate from the mutate pile, you play one, play the other, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's an infinite out for that. I think it's arguably also like an infinite outlet for Baron as well, because when are you in a Isochron Scepter deck not going to have any mana rocks that have a mana value, right? Like, I think that's like if you have a Soul Ring or a Mana Vault or like any of those things, it still works in that capacity.
What I actually think is a better idea that as a infinite mana outlet is with Hullbreaker Horror.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. No, I think all of it works. And then also like has Ward 3, right? Mm-hmm. Which Ward, as we know,
3 pay 3 life. Not just Ward 3. It's Ward 3 and
for sure. But like I think the idea of like, and then you can play like cards like Treasure Cruise and Magmatic Sinkhole and like Dig Through Time and then just like absolutely rip through cards, right?
Dig Through Time.
And then you can, if you're not doing Delve stuff, you can also do Breach Lines too. Yeah. Right. So like I think it's like there is enough stuff, and also I love the design of the card. So there's enough things that it does, and I think it wins a fair game really, really easily.
Right.
Which is one of the reasons I like the card.
Yeah,
it's because you have the 6/6 flyer to deal with, and then also just be like, yeah, okay, how many instant sorcerers am I going to cast to where you cannot answer that with your Bowmasters?
This feels like a decent Blue Moon commander.
Yes, that's the other part of it, right? So Blue Moon referencing the idea that you are using Back to Basics Blood Moon and just absolutely playing those basics. Like we were talking about Maelstrom Wanderer, right? Except for you're just an Izzet, so it's less of a cost, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, you can play like Ruination, you can play Blood Moon, you can play Back to Basics, all of those things, punish all of the 4 and 5 color sauce, and then also just, you know, do some explosive infinite mana stuff and play this like the world's trippiest art. It's so
good. It's very cool looking. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah. It's very cool looking. This is probably one of the ones that I think is like, I'm keeping up here in my tabs, like the ones that I think are like the best that we've come away with.
Sure, sure. I was very proud of myself. The name of the deck list is I Like Ward 3, okay?
Let's see. What else do we got here? Storvold's a cool card.
You know, I keep seeing Moderately Anonymous Dan just absolutely wreck people with that card in casual, and it's very funny.
Yes, the card is really stupid in casual spaces.
Yes, for sure.
What else we got here? Braximander.
CDH staple Thumberjaw.
Oh my gosh, get the fuck out of here.
I will say Tiamat is one of the more interesting ones we passed through. I actually really like that card. I think it's maybe not like always being built the best way, and I think it's pretty underexplored. Like, if you want to play five color food chain, but in like a much more like respectfully, a much more fun way, a much more interesting way. It also, unlike First Sliver, you lose Adnaz, right? Like when you play this version, because you have to play like 30 mana of dragons, right? And then you also lose a bit of card quality because you have to pay 30 mana worth of dragons. But what you gain is Emile Dockside, which is obviously one of the most efficient combos in the format right now. You also, I think it technically can work with like Bomberman too. So like there's it opens up like the Kenrith thing where like if you're only playing Kenrith for infinite mana, technically speaking, this does that too. You also have the kind of situation where if your board state gets so absolutely dongled that like you're in the slog fest, right? With First Sliver, it was always like, okay, I have a 7/7 now and I cascade usually into a mana elf, right? Whereas this one is like, yeah, I'm gonna go manually assemble my combo and I give you guys a turn or two to beat me, or else you're dead, right? Which I don't think sucks. It also works with Dream Halls, which is cute.
I think the Dream Halls thing isn't real. I don't think you should be playing with Dream Halls.
That's fair.
I think Dream Halls is a trap, big time.
I can easily believe it. I also think like a one card combo with your commander is only so bad that also helps you cast your
commander. I understand. You know? But like people try, like, let me put it to you this way. People tried doing Dream Halls with like Atraxa, and it was very clear immediately that, oh, this is not the way. And this is like the same mana cost. So.
Huh. I know what you said was meant not to make me want to try Dream Halls Atraxa, but that's not what happened.
Well, shit. Go ahead. Right, everybody, do your thing. Brew a deck. Enjoy it. You'll find out. It's, what? It's the same thing with freaking what's the card that I always make fun of? The combo Alluren. It's the Alluren trap.
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing. I think they are the exact same trap that people fall into. Is
interesting.
People see, ooh, free mana, and then they don't think about how that, like, how the consequences of that work out because of what it allows other people to do.
Dream Halls isn't symmetrical, though, is it?
Dream Halls, there's a thing that shuts down Dream Halls that, Dream Halls, excuse me. Rather than pay the mana, it's controller. Yeah, so anybody can do it.
Oh.
That's why it's bad.
I did not know that. Yeah, that's really funny, actually.
Very not symmetrical. But that's why I say it's the exact same trap as Alluren.
Yeah.
And so it's.
That makes me a little sadder. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. But I do think Tiamat is like really good. I think it kind of falls into the Atraxa category where, like, when we were talking about, I hate Food Chain First Sliver. If you haven't noticed, I have such a disdain for that archetype. And it's mostly because of the fact that it has zero identity. It is like the deck that is just so milquetoast. It doesn't do anything special. But like Tiamat does something really special, and like it gives you a reason of playing it that outside of, oh, it's five colors and it's a food chain outlet. You know what I mean? Like, you have a specific angle for it. And if you're going to play the just like good stuff food chain deck, play Atraxa, because Atraxa is a much better good stuff deck than
food chain. I mean, we're seeing it, right?
Yeah. So, like that's kind of how I feel about it. I actually think Tiamat has, like, it also gives you, like, you can go get your pieces and then your food chain stuff is able to come down. It also allows you to play pieces like what's the one mana rule of law effect?
Deafening Silence?
Yeah, Deafening Silence. It lets you be able to take advantage of Deafening Silence in a really awesome way.
Actually, a pretty solid Deafening Silence deck.
Yeah, like it's very good Deafening Silence deck. So I actually think most Food Chain decks are good Deafening Silence decks, but this one gets this definitely does take advantage of that because it's probably going to be more creature centric than other ones were be. Let's keep looking.
What do we
remember when Velimakis Lorehold was kind of a running pioneer for a minute?
It was doing a thing.
What is?
I said it was doing a thing.
Yeah, that was an interesting time. Let's see.
You've seen AC from time to time for sure.
What is it? AC?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see it on the Commander RC stream every Thursday night. One of Scott's favorite decks.
Wait, can you go up?
Yeah. What are we looking at? What card are we looking at?
The dragon, the lustrous.
Amerith?
Yes. Does that do? No, I don't think it does what I think it does. Yeah.
Okay.
Look at the top card of your library if it shares a card type. Yeah, so it's not like an infinite mana outlet because you need to flicker something for every card type.
Yep.
So kind of stinky.
Let's see. Asmodeus, though, people played around with a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like the best or one of the best Necrotic Ooze combos right now, right? Is you Asmo plus Scourge Familiar. So as long as you have three cards in hand, you can draw your entire deck, which is not bad at all.
When are we going to build Azor the Lawbringer? When are we going to bring justice? When are we going to bring law to CEDH? Justice.
I think so. Like Azor technically does have some upsides, right? Like, so it's a very funny Displacer Kitten deck.
It is.
It's just truly a cruel deck for Displacer Kitten. It technically speaking is an Ice Crown Scepter deck as well, right? Because you can go to combat and make infinite mana in your combat step.
The funny thing is, though, is I think that it has been invalidated by a new Azorius card that just got previewed today.
I don't know. I think it does more than that card, if I'm being honest.
Does it? All right. Well, yeah. I mean, I think the shutting down your opponents.
Yeah, that part's like pretty huge.
Yeah. But when you know what we should do sometime? This should be a Brewer's Choice episode. We'll bring in the law to CEDH. Getting the law involved.
I always feel like Bruticlad is broken, but I never can figure out how to like CEDH break it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's such a strong ability.
It is a strong ability. The issue is it's just like you're in blue red and then you just have to play like a bunch of bad cards to make it work.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Next.
Remember when people tried Bruna?
Remember when people tried Bruna? It was fine.
Yeah.
Nothing to write home about.
I agree.
This needs to probably get played in the 99 of more decks though.
I mean, it's a 6-mana creature.
Yeah.
Right.
It is. That also can't be countered and is a, you know, the whole having not be, you know, silence effects are pretty good.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with that part for sure.
Let's see. What else we got? Dragonlord Silumgar. Let's go, baby.
Yeah. When your opponents play Tasigur.
Ilanda and Azor. Maybe if you're a podcast listener, you don't see my face right now.
Let's talk about Atali, right? Because I love 6-mana Atali. I've always loved 6-mana Atali. The problem with 6-mana Atali is if you build it as conventional wisdom would dictate, right? Mm-hmm. In mono red, if you're playing a 6-mana commander, you play a slower deck so that you can stack the board down until you get to Atali, right? Mm-hmm. The problem is all the stacks pieces you want to use to stop people in mono red also stop Atali. Yeah. And it's the worst thing ever. I love this card so much and I just wanted to be CDH playable so bad. Like it's a crazy high power deck. Like you get it out like turn two and then it's like, oh, Eldrazi time.
Every time I see this in like a casual game, I'm immediately upset.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's cracked and casual. I like, I don't know, part of me wants to like just try and build a like turn one Itali deck, but then like the new version is just better. Yeah, you know.
Fun fact, we're gonna go to Caleb's crack cocaine town.
Okay.
Glacian power stone engineer.
Not this again.
It's the scepter outlet commander that combos with Arden. So you can combo this with Arden and all of your equipment do go toward, they end up becoming things that allow you to tap and look in for more cards.
Mm-hmm.
It's a blue white scepter deck. What's the issue you have?
What's the issue I have is the fact that it's a 6 mana commander that you need to then have Summoning Sickness rid of. Like, that's awful.
Yeah, you play Swiftfoot Boots, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. I'm gonna build next. This deck.
Go for it.
Is Godo good? What's your thoughts on Godo?
It's Godo. Next question.
Garuda, Doom of Depths. What are our thoughts on
Garuda? I am so okay. Here, this is my brewer stink. I'm gonna throw.
Okay.
I love Garuda. Mm-hmm. I've always loved Garuda. I was sitting in my room with a pile of 20 Garuda cards that I was trying to optimize and working on for months, and I was like, oh, after this next string of tournaments, I am going to whip out my Garuda deck, and it's going to be so silly and fun, and we're going to have a great time, and I'm bringing it to a tournament, and it's going to surprise everybody. And then the Mox Masters Invitational happened, and someone played Garuda for the qualifier, qualified with it, and got into the main tournament, and I was like, God dang it, I wanted to be the person.
I wanted to be the one who broke this card.
Yeah. That's it. You did a great job, Pilot. I think the deck is super cute and fun. And I think it's like, I don't know, it's just a really unique CDH deck. Like the idea that you could be like, yeah, I flipped into a Razaketh, and or I flipped into a mana Jinxataxias, or I flipped into 4 clones in a row and I milled most of everyone's deck. And then, you know what I mean? Like right. Crazy shit like that. It's like, I don't know, it was really fun and silly. And I kind of hope it keeps showing up, and I hope people actually keep working on it, because I think
it has legs.
Probably always going to be like a fringe deck in the format at the very least, right?
Feels like it's good enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. Nothing crazy.
A friend of mine growing up back in Boston used to play Intet a lot, and that was a deck I talked about a good amount. But it's decent.
Yeah. Kyrie, the Swirling Sky.
I have seen a CDH Kyrie deck.
I have.
It's okay.
It's fine. It's a mono blue deck. Yeah. There are better things you can be doing a mono blue.
Agreed.
Hey, what's our thoughts on Kodama of the East Tree?
Kodama is a card a lot of people love, and it's just okay.
Kodama Sakashima, dude. Let's talk about Kroxa and Kuneros.
Yes,
because this card, I think, has the potential to be one of the like better decks in the format.
Yeah, I mean, Mardu Food Chain is not bad, right? Like,
no, not Mardu Food Chain. Mardu Dog Food Chain. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's much, much cleaner. It comes off the tongue. Great. Yeah,
it does. This is a deck that people kind of toyed with, but then it never really went anywhere.
Yeah,
and I think it's because it's like one of those commanders that takes like a little bit more like brain power to make work, if that makes sense. But it's one that like when I saw it, I immediately went like, this feels like it's like on the level of Tivit good.
Whoa. Yeah, I don't know about that one, but
well, when I compare it to Tivit, it has a lot of the same qualities that Tivit has. It's in different colors is the big difference. So you miss out on some of the balance combos.
It has no built-in protection. It is kind of an outlet, but it means you already need to have invested into your graveyard. Right? Like, there are things that exist with it, but like, I don't know that it's even
close. I don't think it's quite as good as Tivit, for what it's worth. But I think Tivit is a decent comp to like what it would be doing, just in like a Mardu space. But I like the card a lot. I might, maybe I'll brew this. I think it's a really interesting like idea.
Yeah, I think so too.
What else do we have here? We're starting to get down into six commander territory.
I want Metamai to work so badly. It was my first mythic rare I ever pulled out of a
pack. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
Megatron is a deck too, right?
Is it?
Mardu Silence on his deck, right?
Yeah, I guess Megatron is a deck. What is the backside?
I mean, it's, so for the backside, is you cast it for the more than meets the eye side, right? And then I believe...
whenever it attacks, you may sacrifice another artifact. When you do, Megatron deals damage equal to the sacrificed artifact's mana value to target creature. If excess damage would be dealt to that creature this way, instead deal that damage to... is dealt to the creature's controller, and you convert Megatron.
It says your opponents can't cast spells during combat. Someone told me it was after combat. So you have to like ad nauseam during combat and then like hope that you untap and don't get your ad nauseam payoff countered.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was after combat. Never mind. Megatron sucks.
Cool. Glad we had that conversation. Muldrotha the Gravetide. What's your thoughts on Muldrotha?
I've been seeing people play Muldrotha for years. I mean, it's one of those cards that is just so close, right? Like at all times. You know, I literally talked to a number knower, Eric, who was like, if only it had Ward 3, it would be the real contender.
Yeah.
You know, but that's kind of where it's at. Like, it does a lot of broken stuff. It's very powerful. But like at the end of the day, it's unfortunately kind of suffers from just being an expensive commander with no protection.
Yeah.
I always think Muxus can maybe be a thing.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
But it's also red and you're playing goblins. So
listen. Watch your mouth. Them's his fighting words.
Are they untrue words?
No, but it was the tone.
let's see what else we got here.
I mean, six mana in our set. I will say till the day I die that card is underrated. Oh, let's talk about Nadir, actually. Sorry, no, we all know Narset, right? Narset's been a plague for a long time, but like has not been doing great recently.
Yeah.
But Nadir, I think, is super underrated.
Yes.
It's like Thrasios Nadir is better Prosh, right? Like 95% of the time, if you're talking about self-contained food chain outlets. It has a little bit of trouble converting the food chain mana into Thrasios activations, but it's not the craziest thing to do in the world. There are many outlets. You can do Earthcraft stuff. You can just have a Gaia's Cradle. You can like have a Razaketh. You can have a Hullbreaker Horror. You can like, there's like 100 different ways that like you can still convert that.
Right.
So I think you kind of got to play this like Sultai Reanimator / food chain deck. Cause all the Reanimator payoffs are also good converters post infinite mana with food chain. Right. So, I just think it's like super underplayed. I think it's a great Sultai option that just isn't talked about enough. Like Kai can play like Thrasios, Miara. I don't understand why Nadir can't make the cut either. You know? Yeah.
I think this is better than Miara.
Big shock. Yeah. People were trying Nira. You remember Nira?
I do remember Nira. It ain't it.
Six mana is a lot for that card, for sure.
Yeah. You know, do you think Niv-Mizzet Perun is CEDH viable?
I think Draco Genius is probably better.
Yeah, I think, you know what? Personally, I like the Fire Mind more.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Nice. So, nice.
You know. let's see. What else do we got here? Lots of cards. Lots of cards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Prosh. I hate Prosh. It's just
no.
I get it, Memo. I'm proud of you. You did a cool thing, but you and I both know it's suboptimal.
That wasn't Memo. That was Tuca. I thought,
was it Tuca? Yeah. Oh yeah, right. It was Tuca. I'm sorry. It's, you know what, Tuca? I'm sorry. I got you confused with the other European. I apologize.
I do not sign off on that one. But okay.
No. That's a genuine apology. I like a genuine. Like I got my European people mixed up.
Okay.
What else do we got? I do mean that quite genuinely. We're down.
Sauron
Sauron
is. the one that's being played.
Yeah. So let's talk about Sauron versus like other Sauron.
People keep comparing it to Tivit, right? Which I get that it has a nasty ward, and that's like sick when it resolves.
Okay.
Problem is, like, it doesn't have one card combo. It like, and also I see people keep building it like Turbo Grixis, and I'm like, if you're gonna play the big Grixis payoff, like play big Grixis. You know what I mean? Like, I don't.
People, here's the thing: if you're gonna play, people are so Rog'Sai-pilled that they can't play Grixis another way. Is really what it is. And people, what is happening is people want to play Rog'Sai, but they don't want to play Rog'Sai because they don't want to be the target at the table. And so they build bad Rog'Sai decks. And this is what I think those decks have been, personally.
It's interesting. I don't know that it's quite that cut and dry, but like, I also understand your point for sure.
Obviously, there are nuances to that. Mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. I am not including, but
Know, I just think this card is really interesting. I think the ring art is gorgeous. I don't know if you've seen that one.
Oh yeah, this one.
Yes.
Oh, God, this is my copy of the card.
Yeah. So I think it's worth trying. I think I'll play it around with it at some point, but I definitely want to do kind of what I did with Tevesh and Krom, which is just kind of like make it more that like mid rangey Grixis pull. If I'm gonna play a card like this instead of like Rog'Sai,
yeah. Right? I agree.
Like, if I'm going to be doing this type of game plan, I'm going to be doing this type of game plan as much as I would like to do this type, right?
I just think people I think
Goblin Bombardment's really good in the deck, too.
Say that again?
I think Goblin Bombardment's really good in the deck, too.
Yeah.
To be able to control your Orc armies and, like, be able to be like, okay, now every single spell you... It basically turn every spell they cast into a Bowmaster's trigger.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, just having a big army, too.
Right.
Like, that is a potential avenue for the deck.
You know? Yeah. No, I think that's really, like, clever.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we got. Shroom. Good old Shroom.
Good old Shroom. Good old
Shroom. Also,
just reminder, I got like 5 minutes.
Yeah, you're good. I mean, we're getting pretty close to the end of this. Let's wrap it up here. Do you want to talk about Tassigar or do you want to talk about Teferi?
I don't think we have to, right? Okay. Like, the whole point of this episode is to like see what we can try that hasn't been done.
Yeah.
The Master Multiply, let's talk about that card for a second.
Okay.
I really want this card to work because it is one of the most clever designs I think I've ever seen. That's Nadir Callahan. There we go. Legend of Nerul doesn't apply to tokens. It is literally just like a self-contained army. It's like Bad Najeela, right?
Yeah.
And I just think it's such a well-made design, and I really, really want it to work because like Twin Flames are forever, Kiki-Jiki effects are forever, and like the fact that it just goes like, all right, I'm gonna attack, now there are 3 of them, next turn I'm gonna attack, now there are 9 of them, next turn I'm gonna attack, now there are 27. You know what I mean?
It's a kind of interesting Kiki-Jiki deck.
Yeah, right? Like it does a lot of like weird quirky stuff, and then you can play like a bunch of stacks effects, right, that are just like, we're gonna get to my 6 mana and we're gonna get to a point where my commander is gonna attack and then I'll put a Lightning Greaves on him and you guys are starting the clock, right? I think it's interesting. I don't know how good it is. I just think it's like a really cool design space, and I would love for someone to try and push it as much as possible. I'm not saying that like it's a CDH deck hard stop, right? I just want to see what people can do with it.
Yeah. You know, I've played against it. Like, it definitely will it pressures the board and it puts a lot of pressure on you. My experience playing against it was it just feels like it's like about a turn or two too slow.
I was gonna say, if it had haste itself, I think I would like it a lot more.
Yeah. It just is just a hair too slow.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But yeah, well, that has been an interesting episode. We almost got to Tivit.
Almost. So close. So sorry everyone, we're cutting this one a little short because of the aforementioned tech issues. Our window got a little closed, but I don't know if you guys, like, honestly, if you want to keep doing this as a series, like, please leave it down in the comment below, because Callahan and I will literally pick up where we left off if that's something you're interested in.
Honestly enjoying ourselves so much because it's so fun for like the two of us to just sit here and talk about random cards,
hypothetical brews. Yeah exactly. It like leaves us with a bunch of cool ideas. Like, I know Ovika's a card I've had in my creator box for a while. I know Nadir stuff is like something I go back to literally once every 3 months.
Yeah.
I love Bruin. too. It's like, I do too. You know, there's a lot of really cool stuff, and I think there's always cool stuff out there. And I love that a lot of the audience, at least people who come down in the comments, seem to really enjoy that kind of stuff as well. And I think there's so much space in CEDH to be extremely powerful and like do crazy stuff, but also keep that level of uniqueness that, that not all formats get, you know? So why not celebrate this part of the format too?
I 100% agree with you. But with that, if you are a fan of the show and want to pick up any of these wonderful cards that we have been talking about, you can go over to tcgplayer.com and use the link in the description to pick up a card like Tiamat. Do you want a Tiamat? Whoa. Use our link in the description and you will help the show out. Also, make sure to head over to patreon.com/mindsculptors and become a patron today. And also, this fuckhead over here does CEDH coaching. Where can people find out about that?
Oh, that's me. I'm the fuckhead. Hi, everybody. if you're interested in some CEDH coaching, I mean, first of all, you can always find me over youtube.com/comedianmtg, where I cover all sorts of tournament CEDH stuff. You don't know that now, but I'm really quite surprised. But that's the other place you can find me. You can also email me at comedianmtg@gmail.com, find me on Twitter, Discord, all those places. I do CEDH coaching for folks, and the book's been pretty filled up this week, which made me really, really happy. It's been a busy week, but a lot of folks are looking to get a jump on the new Mox Masters, which should be out. I mean, it will have been had as of the weekend before this recording. So I'm excited to see what new decks come out of there. The Chaos meta was kind of interesting, and I'm kind of curious what happens now that Ping Power is kind of doing their own independent tournaments.
Yeah.
Like that, so. But yeah, if any people want to prepare for the tournaments they have coming up, because, you know, with the Eminent Circuit, there's no platinum level events for a hot minute, but like there's been tournaments announced like every weekend from now until like past December. Right. So it's pretty sick.
Yeah, we've got a lot of stuff coming up. So if you need some coaching, call up Ian and he will give you the good coaching. And if you want the bad coaching, you can call me or any of the other people that do coaching. No, I'm joking. There are great coaches out there. But with that, how do you want to wrap up today's episode? What are your thoughts on doing like some something crazy, something really wild?
Keep the big boys coming. Big Boy Winter's here. 1,000 years of big boys. Rick and Morty, big boy. Big Boy Winter.
Thanks for watching. I'm Cal.
I'm Ian.
We'll see you next week.